welcome to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman. No Fred Smith tonight, but we are here with the women's soccer team. Head coach Scott Oliver. Scooter, how are you?
Great. And yourself?
I'm good. A nice chilly day.
Yeah. It still beats, you know, January, February, so we're
it
doing
does.
All right. Yep, we,
it does.
We can bear practicing outside and this stuff.
This is Michigan weather. You never
That's
know
right.
what you're going to get. And we've got two players current on the roster. We're going to have an alumnus to talk with a little bit later, too. But we've got Cassie McNatt. Cassie, how are you?
Good. Glad to be here.
And she's a Clinton product, local Lenawee County. Here's an old football jersey. That was actually mine when I was like a ball boy in the 70s when I was running around on the sidelines. And then we got Kat Peters. And Kat, you're our Utica, I see.
Yeah, from Utica, use up. That was our thing.
What was that? Say that again.
We go use up.
Use up. Gotcha.
So.
Okay. There you go. You got to have something. Actually, I was watching the Utah Gymnastics, and they were doing that
use
on
up,
the beam.
Yeah.
They were doing that the other day. But so, Coach, you are doing some practicing right now then still?
Yeah, our spring season's quite underway.
Okay.
Kind of have a little winter, January, February. We work out quite a bit, and then we try to get indoors and do some things there until it warms up. So we're outside. We actually have our first spring game on Saturday up at Ferris State.
Okay.
And then, you know, we go on there. So we have three dates this spring.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. So you get three. Is that NAIA kind of?
Yeah, each player is allowed to play three games. So.
So do you try to play more and only have
well, we
half
did,
the
but
roster?
We, yeah, we're a little bit limited right now. So we like in the past we've done four dates and then they get to play three of the four. So
okay,
but yeah, it's usually just three dates. You know, we have a tournament down at St. Francis where we'll play three shorter games, and then we have a tournament at Tiffin, which we'll play three shorter games as well. So they'll definitely have enough playing time in the next 3 weeks, I guess, to get going and do stuff.
Well, that's nice too. Then you get the dates, but you can actually play more than one on that day.
Yeah, correct. Yep.
So now you're going to Ferris first.
Yep.
So who's up there then?
Just Ferris State. So
okay.
We'll actually play Ferris State on right. Saturday at 1:00, I believe.
And then the other ones, are they more NAIA?
St. Francis is all NAIA, so it's Marion, who's what nationally ranked in the top five, I think, and then Goshen, who's normally on our schedule, and St. Francis. So us four will play. And then Tiffin was D2, but we're not drawing Tiffin this year, so we're playing Baldwin Wallace, Heidelberg, and then our reserve team will play the Tiffin's reserve team as well. So
okay, that's nice. So you can get some good minutes in.
Yep.
Does that work well, especially this time of year? Then, so you know your seniors that had left, so they're gone. You can kind of get a look at what your next year's roster will be.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think we always are excited about what the freshman is. So, like, I just think it clears way for some of our returning players to finally just, you know, put themselves out there a little bit more and give them a little more confidence in what they might have. And that's really springboards us into the season. The one thing that we'd change a little bit this year as opposed to other years is we're really more developmental focused in the winter season. I think this year we're a little bit differently on that, but not as much as the games don't matter and like we just need to do individual things better and things like that. So we're trying to walk that fine line this year between, you know, winning games and doing what we normally do and tactics and things like that and developing
right
in skills. As we're in the fall, it's opposite for me. It's
yes.
You know, we need to win and we obviously do have to develop and things like that, but the picture is more narrow scoped, I would think.
So you talk about the freshmen that won't be there that are coming in. How many recruits do you have coming in?
We have 15 signed for the fall.
Okay.
So, and that's about our average class every year, things like that. So we had a huge class last year, but.
You know, and you talked about your reserves plan. How many normal games, like in the fall, do you have reserves?
Usually about half. So, but I think they had 11 last year or 13 maybe. There were 9-1. We had two games canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9-1-2 was, I think, maybe what your record was. Yeah, it was the same as our conference record. So they had 12 games, and I think they had one canceled and things like that, too. So.
Okay. So then when you bring them in, you can at least, you know, get some good minutes, get them used to what the college game is like.
Yeah, and I think what really the spring is great is that our reserve players now are going to be more counted on for varsity games, which everybody wants, right? So now it's just that barometer. They get to gauge themselves on where they're at exactly and things like that. So Well, it took some people's time to get their feet wet or whatever in college soccer. Now they're really trying to be asked to produce right now at a high level against high quality opponents and things like that too.
And that gives you an idea too of, you know, how they step up and maybe who's can be a leader, you know, what they want to be able to do and how you can kind of fit them into the lineup for, you know, coming up for this next season.
Yeah, and I don't really ever want to recruit anybody that plays just JV. That's not my soul. It's like, hey, you need to come here. You need to graduate as a JV player and come in. Like, the goal is that you have to contribute to the varsity one way or another. And, like, that's really the focus for all of it. So I think this starts really helping our younger players get that focus that they are majorly important to our progress of what we're doing right now and things of that nature. So
when you say that, though, what kind of attrition do you have? I mean, especially when you get something to go, okay, school's a lot harder than I thought. You know, maybe I want to, you know, concentrate on that. So, I mean,
we've been pretty good. I think our 2 years ago, we graduated 13 girls, and they had a class of 16, I think. We're graduating 14 this year. They had 18, I think, when they came in. And then our junior group right now is 13, I believe. And then our sophomore group, which these guys are a part of, I think have only lost one. So I don't know what the percentages do, but we are graduating pretty much who we are recruiting. We're not really a transfer type school or program or things like that.
Presidents,
in or out.
Presidents love you then with that kind of numbers.
Hopefully.
Keep them around. That's always good. But let's chat with the girls a little bit. So, Kat, you're coming in from Utica, throwing up that U.
Yeah.
Did you figure out an SH or something for here?
Make an SHU somehow.
There you go. So talk about a little bit about your trip to Siena Heights and how you kind of got down here and made Siena your home now.
Well, like, being in high school, we had some nursing classes, so I kind of knew from the start that that's what I wanted to do was nursing, but I was a little late on the, like, college search because I just didn't really think about it, you know? Like, I'm the oldest in my family. I have a younger brother. So once I kind of got out there, I visited, like, big schools like Michigan State, but really coming to Siena and doing my tour here and, like, seeing just the beautiful, like, architecture I love, like, I felt like it was a whole different world, you know, like coming from Utica, like we're a city, I'm right on Hall Road. That's a big commercial area.
Right.
So like coming here and like just kind of being away, seeing the beautiful like farmland, it was just like the small classrooms, just what I had to do.
So initially was soccer in your thoughts or you were going to the bigger schools to play too or just kind of more?
My like the way I wanted to see is I'm doing this too for nursing. Like soccer, I love soccer, but I really want to be a nurse. So I kind of went to the bigger schools just to see what it was like, you know, like the big classrooms.
Right.
But like, I want small classrooms. I want to feel connected with everyone. And my team helps me a lot with that too. So it's just being at Siena is like a whole huge family, you know? So, and all my teammates are like 50 sisters, you know? So it's awesome.
So what was the, in high school, in the difference between coming here playing college and maybe did you play a lot of travel as
well? Yeah, club. I played nationals with the nationals, and it's completely different. Like coming from like travel high school soccer to college, like it's so much more. Like I'm doing this for my school and my team. You know, like travel was more. You practice 2 days a week. You kind of do your individual thing. That's where you try to get exposure to colleges.
Right.
Then to go and play for that team, you know? So I think that was a big jump for me, too, to come and be so integrated into, like, a huge culture, like Saints Pride, you know? So, like, that's kind of just – that was my biggest, like, jump.
So nursing, do you have a certain field you want to get into?
I was thinking about becoming a CRNA, nurse anesthetist, but – I'm also exploring, like, ER, NICU, like, with babies.
Right.
But I kind of just want to, like, keep my mind open, go into clinicals with such an open mind, and just see what I fall in love with, you know. So all I want to do is help people. So as long as I got that in mind, hopefully it will all fall into place.
That's
and
awesome.
I'll find something I love. So
very good. And Cassie, I mean, local for you, mm-hmm. being from Clinton, so you knew probably were a little more familiar with Siena Heights than Kat was. So what was your process and what were your thoughts about getting here to Siena?
Yeah, so I was late in the college search as well. Didn't really know exactly what I wanted to study. And Scooter had actually reached out to my varsity coach and was like, hey, like, what's Cassie doing? I want her to come on a visit. And I didn't really know what I wanted to go, where I wanted to go. So I was like, you know what, it can't hurt. And it was the first school that I looked at and also the last. Once I came on tour, I was like, yeah, I'll play soccer here pretty much, which I didn't see in my future, but I'm happy it worked out that way.
Yeah, that's good. And then what are you studying?
I'm studying psychology with a minor in exercise science and religious studies.
Okay. So what is your goals with those degrees?
You know, right now I actually, I don't really know.
Okay.
I really just have fallen in love with studying psychology and how the brain works. So just going to see where that takes me.
So you can analyze Scooter all the time then, right?
Yeah.
Actually, something I'm proud of her for, she, and I don't know if I can tell you this, but she is exploring going into the armed forces after.
Oh, awesome.
So yes.
Her older sister serves and quite proud of that type of thing too. So
yeah.
Cassie, I think, has always had that in mind, and I think her college degree and soccer team will help her probably there. So
perfect.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Good for you. But
you.
That psychology level, you think differently and you think – My daughter was a major in social work, so she had a lot of that. So yeah. We get psychoanalyzed all the time when I was a dad. So
yeah. Not necessarily, but
but you think a little differently though. I mean, just because of what you're studying and doing, I mean, you have that thought process that's probably a little different. Do you want to help some of the teammates and things because of that?
Yeah, I think I might think differently than other people, but at the same time, I don't really necessarily want to know what's going on in everyone's brain. So
you want to know how it works, but not how every individual how it works with that.
I think they all need to take abnormal psych just to help the coach, but that's up to them.
Well, Coach, while they're in here, I mean, give us a little some tidbits on each of these girls and what they bring to the team.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I'm proud of them both for is they actually bring more to us than what's on the field. And I feel like that's the kind of transition. I think that's why I'm in coaching, is just their progression of, you know, them as people and things like that. I was just talking to somebody about it. Like, they're really both right now, they're kind of girls on fire to me. You can just see that spark that really changes and coming in from freshmen or even recruiting them, like, just trying to get to college and get their feet wet. And then there's just something about the girls when they finally build that confidence and, you know, all their hard work starts paying off and things start to roll through. And that's really kind of where both of them are. They really are. And I think it's a lot on the academic side. I think they see their careers now. They are comfortable in their environments and who they are. And they've kind of lose some of that self-doubt that I think most everybody has as a teenager and things like that. And it just really, it's fun to be around. So both incredibly hard workers. They'll do anything for their teammates. They'll work super hard, actually through injuries. So I think both of these have tried to play through stuff that I don't know that everybody wants to or do. And I feel like, you know, that's just a trait that our team really goes through. Their upperclassmen are always trying to get out there regardless of what the trainers are telling them or their body tells them to see fit. And I think they, you know, balance that type of stuff well. The other thing they bring us, they're both amazing students, and I feel like that's really part of our culture. So who they are as people, I think, really matters to us, and that's what they bring most. And then as an athlete, obviously they can do all the things that we need on the field and stuff like that, but then the academic side and what they do outside of that is really big. So, and I know Kat has a lot to do with nursing, so the extracurriculars aren't as great, and Cassie's all over campus right now. She works in admissions. His full-time job or part-time job, I guess. And that it's just a matter of all of that type of stuff that really just creates us being better adults. And I just, you know, our freshmen and incoming freshmen and recruits, like, those are the role models that they're living up to in my mind every time they come in.
And did you guys both of that feel that when, you know, when you first got here as freshmen, that, you know, kind of being taken under the wing by, you know, some of the older girls to kind of teach you the ropes and, you know, what Scooter is, you know, what he's going to expect, and kind of help you through that transition of, you know, high school to college, whether it's in the class or on the field?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, I remember crying in my room, calling my family, crying about, oh, I miss everyone, all my animals at home, my brother, my friends. And then I get knocks on my door, and it's all, like, half of the upperclassmen just being like, let me see your room, you know? Like, just trying to pull me out of a sadness I was in, you know? Because it's just, I've lived at home my entire life, and then all of a sudden I get into a whole new world, whole new situation. So, but it was awesome the way they just kind of pulled us in, made us try to forget about everything that was going on and just focus on what we were there for, and that was to play soccer, especially in preseason, you know.
Yeah, and I think it was extra special too because when we came in as freshmen, we had some fifth-year seniors who were taking their COVID year, who were girls who were there an extra year because they knew what it felt like to have that taken away from you.
Right.
So they were, they had a fire lit under their butt, and it was just very motivating to see how much they wanted to see our team succeed and what they were willing to put forward.
Their passion. Yeah. It was, like, inspirational. Like, it made me like, that's going to be me, you know.
So. Well, and you guys each had the COVID year in high school, but you were able to come back and play more, where some of the other, you know, people that were their senior year or things like that really kind of missed out on it. So at least you were able to get through that. But you see a lot of difference, you know, Coach, you probably can comment on this too, just how that COVID year affected so many people, you know, whether they're in college or high school or coming back. It's all different, but that year really has kind of, it's a weird year.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, on my side, I see a lot of positives out of it. I think that it was such a negative at the time, and people viewed it as a negative. But I think it showed, like, the resilience of even our race or our, you know, a population that, and it really did for our girls, that they, things don't always go as you plan and how you see them, and you can adjust and you can make changes and things like that. And, you know, their high school career is unlike anybody but four other generation, right? 4 years. So they have something special to them. And I think that that's starting to turn out. And I think that they're starting to be a little more proud of that type of stuff. And I equate it then, and this is a gross comparison, but I equate it how proud I was after 9/11. And that's when I started my career. That happened September, and I started hired in July. And how proud I was just as a country and to be an American. And I was raised USA versus Russia, all that stuff. But really, the 9/11 stuff was really dumbfounding for a lot of us, right? And it was a terrible situation. And I think what came out of that ended up being super positive. And I think that's where we're seeing now more of the COVID kids really getting into the workforce, even graduating school, taking all their eligibility that they can to be part of something special and do that type of stuff. And I think that that generation now, because they went through this as teenagers, are really going to do some amazing things. Because they've learned resiliency. They've learned that they don't have to necessarily, things aren't always going to go your way, and that you can adapt and things can be a little bit different than how you see and how they planned. And that's what I just think, like, that's kind of that fire that Cassie talks about and stuff like that. So
that's a good way to look at it. Well, we're going to take time out. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about you guys' past season. I know your memory is blurry on that, you said. But we can talk a little bit about what you, some expectations and things too. So we're going to take a time out. We'll be back with more Saint Sports Weekly brought to you by CNIH University right here, 965 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu. At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit siennaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Sports Weekly. You should hear about the things you talk about during commercial breaks. So we'll leave it at that.
Very intriguing.
That's right.
The psychology of some people.
That's right. It's a soccer night here. Jeff Bowman along with Coach Scooter Oliver, along with Cassie McNatt and Kat Peters. And I got out of the schedule from last year, so I got to get back to it while we talk. But again, what was it, 13-2-4. 13-2-4. But you were just saying last 10?
Yeah, unbeaten in our last 10 because we, I guess our last game of the year, we won on a forfeit because they played an illegal player. But, I mean, but still, we're 13 wins and 2 losses. I think anybody would be super excited about that. It's ironic because me as a coach, and I've been at Siena a long time, so the history matters to me. And, you know, we average 12.5 wins and 4.5 losses a year. So when I look at it that way, I'm like, well, that was just another average season for us, really. And in fact, it wasn't. Like 13-2-4, like we had a great year.
Right.
One of the losses is at Bethel, which I think we hit both hit the crossbar, we hit both posts. They cleared 2 balls off the line. Like, it's a game that we should have won without a doubt. Even their coach were like, man, we got super lucky in that game. And then the other game that we lost was to Aquinas, who went on to the quarterfinals and nationals. We actually had, I don't know, 4 or 5 starters out that game, and we just hit a perfect storm for them and not good for us. So, you know, we really only had kind of one real terrible game and that type of stuff, and we were good. I mean, 13 wins, it's, you know, out of 20, that's usually a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and, you know, this conference is always a tough one. Now, where were you guys preseason ranked?
I think we were ranked fourth.
Okay.
And so we finished third. You know, that was a little slap in the face because we had won the conference the year right. before, and they put a lot of teams in front of us on that type of stuff. And I don't really look at that much of that stuff. That's not really what I'm ingrained in. You know, we're trying to win the conference title the regular season every year, and we're trying to win the tournament. We're trying to get deeper in the nationals and things like that. That's mindset. So what
right.
the outside noise is tells you what you're doing and things like that. It's not. I'm the next game up. I feel like when we win games, we're now focused on, well, that's what we should have done, and right. now it's the next game. So
it just gives you a little bit of ammunition at the beginning of the season. Say, okay, people don't
yeah.
think.
I don't need. I don't. If you talk to the girls or people that play for me, I don't think I need much ammunition.
No, he doesn't.
Just even the doubt that people want to play us is ammunition right. enough for me to get going and get the fire and that type of stuff. And so I really know that. Like I know. We've won a ton of titles in my time, and that's the one thing that they will never forget. And that's the one thing that bonds all those girls together year in and year out. And it's harder as a coach when you have gaps. So, like, we won 2 years ago, and then last year, like, you're trying to fit those pieces together. So we were just in a meeting with some of our freshmen and things like that, and, like, you're trying to get them into a group that is so solid because they went through a championship season together.
Right.
Like, it's just so unifying, and then it's more difficult on our leadership to bring in people that just weren't here, don't have that, you know, experience, and trying to get them that and that type of stuff. So that's really where we're kind of moving with our season and how we're trying to recap and things like that. But
yeah, again, I mean, looking at, and, you know, you talked about Bethel. That's a, you know, a 1-0 game even when it was like that. And, you know, Olivet Nazarene, you got a tie there.
Yeah.
You know, but Aquinas 8-1. That was. I remember we talked a little bit before that game.
Yep.
I know that score was surprising.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they hit some. Just, I mean, they scored some great goals, and it's just the way it was. And you know, they're not. You know, sometimes you're going to have stinkers like that. Actually, I shouldn't say sometimes because that actually is the worst loss of my career, I believe. And yeah, it happens. You know, and but that's when I look at, like, we turn around and we don't play very good at Indiana Tech. We find a way to tie that game. And that kind of really turned our season around, because then we go on and win. Like, we didn't lose a game after we lost to Aquinas. So, like, just, I think sometimes you get woken up and remember you got to get back to being who you are and what you do. So,
yeah, those are important. I mean, again, you know, the best thing from a loss is what you can learn from it.
Right.
You know, and then to be able to come back, as you said, you know, that next game and take an Indiana Tech game that might not have been your best game, but you tie it, you know, and yeah. you go, okay, we're not losing this game.
Yeah.
You know, and so those are always
especially
nice.
Especially after we were beat up really bad like that time, whatever reason and that's the other side that I don't know, that's not in the papers. I remember doing, you know, we had – playing stuff out, and you go through some depth charts in your head and things like that. And I had a full 11 players out. And when you look at 2023 and who's coming back, and then we had, I don't know, four or five by the end of our season when we went to our playoff game, I think we had five girls in my mind that should start that weren't there for injury or whatever other reason. So that's when you start to realize the depth of your program is actually really, really good and things like that. When you can lose, you know, you're starting left back. You know, and you can lose a starting midfielder, and you can replace them with somebody who doesn't play that position, and then they kind of go up. Like, I feel like that's just kind of the styles that we've kind of been incorporated and things like that. And I know football and all them say next man up. I don't think we've ever said that word in our program's history.
Mm-mm.
It's just a matter, like, you know, like, hey, it's your time. Like, you know, they're going to be juniors next year, and that's right now it's our sophomores and freshmen's time this spring,
right.
And it's really for them to prove on kind of what they're going to do and what they're going to be about. So,
and you mentioned, you know, moving somebody in different positions that they're not used to. Do you see that much, or are you pretty stuck on what position they play and kind of where they're at?
No, I'm not. I think those are discussions that we have. Cass is one. I think Kat's another one, because we change formations a little bit from what they do in high school to what they do in club. There's a little different focus. So, there's a little bit of it, but I think it's a democratic decision. I think, yes, I have plans, and then usually the girls do see it my way. It doesn't, like, once I give them some rational excuses, they're like, yep, we'll try it, and you know, go from there. And I think they want to play, they want to be a part, and they're willing to do what they need to do that. So we're not really coming in and being like, you know, you're a striker and you're going to go play in the back now, or you're in the back and I see you as a forward and things like that. So, yeah, and I want them to be a part of it. It's their career. It's their team. So I'm not, you know, I am the captain of the ship, so to speak, but that doesn't mean I'm not taking directions from somebody and getting on the same page as what other people want to do. My way's not the only way to do things.
Right.
I think I've learned that over my career. So
now, are those some of the things you work on too in the spring? I mean, you know, hey, I think maybe you could play this a little bit, so let's work on some of that.
Yeah, I think more my spring focus is, you know, I have a couple points that we want to get better on, like whether it be 1v1 or 2v2, or we need to shoot the ball better. Like we actually have to physically kick the ball better, or we need to possess it. So there's usually one or two points that are in my brain that I'm like, those are the two things that we're going to get done with this, and I'm going to say we're better at that. We're going to work on it every practice. We're going to do it every time. That's why I think my spring season is different than the fall, because the fall is about putting together as a team and what the team needs to work on. And right now, you know, for us, the majority of our team, we're, our focus is on our 1v1 defensively and 1v1 offensively. I feel like if we can get more confidence in those two areas, then that's what's going to set our team up for success in the fall. Yeah. But like last year, I believe like we were, it was more about possession and trying to keep the ball and things of that nature. And ironically, we were so good at possession this year that I told people, like, we have stats and it's called pass strength. So how many passes you take before you turn it over. And we were averaging like 2.5 or 3 for most of the season. And then you look and we score 5 goals and we have 30 shots in a game. And I'm like, well, we don't need to possess when we can break a team down by 2 or 3 passes.
Right.
You, why do you need 8? Why do you need 7? And most teams actually beat us in pass strings the whole year. I think they average almost close to 5. And so as a coach, I'm like, well, that also means we're not getting broken down.
Right.
We're not giving up goals. So there's just some stats in there that I kind of put together in my head and realize where your strengths are and what you've got to do. So
have you, as a coach, got into more analytics than you had in the past?
Not analytics, because it's not math.
Right.
I've always been, I'm a science major,
okay.
So chemistry. So I've always been on math. I always know, you know, we need to average over, I would like to average over 1.5 goals scored per game, and I want to average under 1. And I think when you go back and you look at our championship season, the teams that defend the best have always won titles. So if our goals against is always under 1, we've typically have always been in that conversation. So it's simple, two simple analytics for me: goals scored and goals against. And it's really the goals against that really matters. Yeah. And then, you know, we start looking at, because soccer is not a stat sport, it's not a super high analytical sport. They're trying to make it now with the GPSs and the touches, and we've done all that stuff and I've studied all of it, and it still comes back down to kind of two basics things. So instead of beating myself up on how much they're running and what their heart rates are and things like that, like, I know what our system's going to do and where they need to be. And so then we've kind of gone back now to holistic approaches of stuff and things like that.
Yeah. For you two, again, as far as, did you play multiple sports in high school at all?
No, I was soccer focused. It's what I enjoyed, so I just kind of stuck to it.
Cass, how about you?
Yeah, I played basketball, and then I also ran track and cross country.
Okay. And at Clinton, you're almost, there's a lot more multiple sport athletes than... You probably went to Utica's a little larger school,
yeah.
So there's a little less, I think, you know, some of the athletes, when you get at a school like that, you're you're almost expected to play multiple sports because, you know, there's only so many athletes in that building, and, you know, you need them.
Well, on the other side for Kat, like, the clubs there, they have, you know, full year training.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of clubs, especially Nationals is one, the bigger clubs, they even have kids that won't play high school to play club. So, you know, and the indoor facilities are up there, are greater and things like that, which we lack a little bit here in Lenawee County, obviously. So, you know, that's just one difference, I think, for the high schools. And the most of the girls now do play year-round.
Yeah.
You know, except for the small girls, small school girls. But majority of them are full-year soccer athletes.
Do you see much difference than that multi-sport athlete as opposed to the one that's really a one sport?
No, not really. Like, it, I mean... You know, because every player is, I think, a little bit different. I would have to go back and really think about it and that type of stuff. So, mean, I see differences all, but not in general, like on what it is. Yeah, usually just the physical development, so probably a little bit better. The girls that play soccer maybe have a little more apt in the tactics and things like that, to where, you know, Cassie was probably further along maybe in her physical body shape or anything like that, to where Kat's probably a little bit more knowledgeable of some tactics and things like that. And not to try to degrade either one, just a little bit different when you're doing something all the time, you're so used to it.
Yeah, I mean, your body, you're built for that, you're played for that, you know, and you know, but sometimes, you know, there's always that talk of overuse in you know, in certain you know, different sports, because you're not allowing yourself to
The problem is when you stack them. I think that's when you have to start worrying as a parent. And so the clubs that have you know, full gear and you're committing to that soccer club and that's your primary sport and that's what you want to do, but you know, you need to play basketball or something at high school, and so that's the problem when you've got to kind of leave a basketball practice and go right to a soccer practice and things like that. And the kids' bodies are resilient and they're quite quicker to recover than what an adult would be, but I'm not sure my generation really has thought about that as parents, on how much their kids actually have to do in practice, because I know we played more outside, though, I think. But
I think you're right, too.
You know, I've never had 4 hours of practice in one day, every night of the week or two nights of the week, things like that, too. So,
but I think one thing, you know, when you're multiple sport, you're using different muscles, you're using different things. Yeah. That,
and
you
your
know,
brain's different. Like, you have to listen different. You have to incorporate yourself with different teams and things of that nature. You have different voices, you know, that change in your head every 3 months or things like that, too. So that's always a, you know, helps, I think, a little bit. But
what was the biggest adjustment for you, Kat, especially coming from a smaller school and not playing the big club level that Kat played when you got to playing the college game?
Yeah, so the tactics are a lot different playing at the collegiate level. Coming from a small town, we only had one team. We had varsity team, and we don't really make cuts. So just coming and playing with girls who are pretty elite and they know their stuff, and learning how to play with people like that was an adjustment.
You had a pretty good one on your high school team, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they weren't.
Who's
scary,
now with
right?
you?
Mm-hmm.
Maddie, that's now with you at Siena.
Yeah, I'm glad to be playing with her again.
I saw the other day she's playing flag football.
Correct.
Interesting. Yep. Do you have more soccer that went that way, or
no? Just her right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've kind of. Well, I used to have quite a bit of two sport athletes and. That's kind of gone in the way, you know, on the wayside recently. They get to college and they're sticking with one, but you know, I think we'll have a couple track girls that are coming in as freshmen this year, next year fall, that are going to run track and things like that too. So,
well, just a few more minutes and then we're going to give Coach Laura a call. But what are you ladies expecting for your next year, and what's some, you know, maybe some personal and some team goals for you guys?
You know, looking forward to this weekend and this spring. Obviously, Ferris is a team that we're looking forward to competing with. One of those things where we have to give respect where respect is due. We know that they're a good team, but we're excited to compete with them and see what we can do on the field. And then just in general for the spring, we know it's a time to do the dirty work and get prepared for the fall, just so that we can compete in the fall and make a good run like we know how to do. So.
Yeah, spring is always a good time. Like, even for me, like, last year, my freshman year, like, we hit spring. I knew everyone already. I was in classes with some of the upperclassmen. And I feel like spring season is really when I started, like, fully getting out of my shell. So I'm excited to see the freshmen do that this year and hopefully show me stuff I've never seen them do in the preseason and stuff. So that's what I'm looking forward to as of right now. So,
because that does have to be a little bit different as far as, you know, when you come in a fall sport, because you're just getting on campus, you're just trying to get your feet underneath you for classes, and then you're playing games and maybe not having that time to really, you know, get to know people like you can. And then by that springtime, that's a good analogy of really, wow, now it's kind of, I understand it. Let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like for preseason, we are like thrown together. We're with each other from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every single day, nearly a month before school starts. So that is time for the freshmen to kind of
open up, but it's really, I don't know what it is. It's just once we get to classes, and I think probably growing up, like part of me, it was just kind of maturing and being like, wow, this is how school is. This is how my teachers are, my professors, you know, like not even teachers anymore. And just the maturity, and then you get more confident, you know, and that's just, it was a great thing to just feel like, take a deep breath and not be scared to go to practice, you know, be like, oh, I'm excited to see everyone, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, by that time you probably have a little bit more, you know, a little more knowledge of each of the girls too. I mean, when you're first, everybody's trying to just get that who's who and like how frantic, you're going to fit in. Right. But by that time you have a little bit more understanding of maybe which group you gravitate towards too. And
more
stuff.
One-on-ones with people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think at that first part of the year too, your experience and everything just thrown at you is probably an overload. So do you notice that too, Coach, by that springtime that things are a little different with everybody?
Yeah, and regardless. And they're, you know, they're using their freshman to sophomore year because that's what they are. And they're going to look back and be like, man, how different am I, was I as a senior as I am a, you know, freshman now? So, like, I had lunch with some of those graduating seniors today, and, like, they're all, like, their confidence just exudes. It's crazy. And so that just kind of builds and always just kind of crescendos out, you know, and that type of stuff. So it's funny because they're sophomores and they're comparing to what they had last year and things like that. And like, you just look and you see my junior class now that are our senior leaders and going to be that. And you see a whole different side of them. And I'm like, well, why, where was this as a freshman? And I know it's just that process and things like that. And they, honestly, like, if everybody asked me, like, why did I stay at Siena? Why have I done it? And it's because I went through that process at Siena, and that's what I felt. And I really think, like, even if – and I didn't have great teams. We didn't win a ton of games, let's put it that way. But we were tight, and we were unified for whatever reasons we were. And whether it was Coach Weaver or Coach Zid, they really drove us together, and we were great. And I just think when you kind of go through that maturity process, that's Siena. Like, this isn't the, you know, the Harvard and things like that where you have all that legacy that comes in and you're supposed to be who you are and you're following your dad's footsteps. And we have some of that at Siena, but I'm just telling you, they develop people better than any other place that I've kind of even seen or heard of and heard of anybody else talk about. And that's kind of what I think our girls kind of experience and the program really experiences. It's just, they do it so well. And the one word that always kind of comes up is it doesn't matter who's on campus or what position they're in, they care. Our janitors care. Our people in the food service care about you. Like, you know, obviously your school nurses, your professors care about you. We care about the professors. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, the librarians, everybody's kind of on that same board. They're just in that same cloth of care and that type of stuff. And I think that's what sets, you know, the school apart from us and anything else. And I think we're just stewards of that as a team. We get to, you know, play the games and experience that type of stuff. But that's the growth that I think Siena has got to, you know, if you could bottle something and market it, that's really where they need to kind of go in. And
they kind of coined the, like, Siena effect, I'm pretty sure that's what they call it. So,
well, and you look back, and especially in the athletic department, I mean, when you go back as far as what Fred did as a coach and then as the AD, but, you know, with Fred and Bauer and Sanifer, and I mean, you've been around a long time, and, you know, on the baseball field with JK, and, you know, and then, you know, Sue is coming in here too, but as long as, I mean, you have a lot of staff that have really had roots here, planted them, and haven't searched for greener pastures. Everything that they needed has been here.
Or even our best example, one of my good friends, Josh Riley, our SID, right? He went away and he came back, and the reason he came back was because of the people. And I feel like, you know, that's the hardest thing to try to tell somebody, but I think that's where the girls see that. When they come on campus, they get that feeling, you know, that people do care and they have that, and I think that's what it attracts. It attracts the right people that are supposed to be in those situations and stuff like that. And that's what I'm just blessed to be in the right spot at the right time, I guess. But,
well, ladies, we appreciate your time, and thank you very much for chatting with us, and good luck in all your ventures, whether it's on the field and outside too.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Once again, thank you. Cassie McNatt and Kat Peters, and we're going to take a quick time out. We're going to talk with a former Saint player and head coach now over at Blissfield, Emily Lohr. We'll be back with more right after this. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
The program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at sienaheights.edu. At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit sienaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at sienaheights.edu or visit sienaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back inside the Cave Studios here downtown. Adrian, Jeff Bowman, and Coach Scott Oliver with us. We also had Cassie McNatt, Cat Peters in studio, but we've got a former Saint on the phone with us this afternoon. Evening it is now, is Emily Lohr, a former Saint, now head coach down in Blissfield. She's the head coach of the Royals, Emily Lohr, and it's good to have you on with us, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I know, you know, one of the girls in studio here is, though, was one of your nemesis at Cassie McNatt or at Clinton, so we've got, you know, a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, I heard when I went to one of the games this fall, Marla, the Clinton coach, was there to watch Cassie, too. So it's funny. It's all come full circle.
You can say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Cassie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Good.
Yeah. So, a little bit about when did you get out of Siena? When did you graduate?
I graduated in 2017. I did my student teaching the year after that. or the following semester after that, I guess. So my last year playing was in the fall 2016. So I've been at Blissfield teaching first grade since 2018, and then I also started coaching that same year too.
So what's the biggest test for you as far as keeping a team, coaching, and trying to just keep that roster built at a school like Blissfield that, you know, has never been known for as soccer school? So how is that, you know, getting that program and trying to build a program?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I think that's definitely our biggest struggle. I feel like when I first got there, we pretty much had 24 girls. We had a really decent number for two full 11 team squads. And then as time is going, we kind of fluctuate. This year, we weren't sure how we were going to do. We had 10 seniors graduate last year. So it's definitely a lot of reaching out to younger players and getting them hooked with the sport. We have a lot of competing other girls' sports that are during the same time, or their off seasons are during our season. And so to get the skilled players playing from a young age till high school and staying with it and being committed, it's pretty tricky. I feel like we've had a really good core of girls since I've started, and now I think we're going to have to start building up again from third, fourth grade, which is kind of nice because since I'm in the elementary, I know a lot of them. But it definitely has always been a struggle, and it's always a focus, and just requires us to be creative with doing. We'll do rec nights every once in a while, and then we have the middle school girls ball running and helping us with different things on the sidelines and things like that. But we are looking, or at one point we've been looking, to find something where you can have a better feeder program. A lot of the other sports have really great feeder programs from middle school, and that's something that Blissfield's lacking. So I think the next step, for whether it's me or whether whoever, you know, continues that too, to find something where we can build off of those playing skills from elementary to middle school to high school. So definitely a struggle, but just something we make it work.
Well, and it's got to be a little different for you too when you have – you know, basically, you know, the varsity squad and not more than that. And then, you know, having the cycle of girls coming through where you have to change styles a little bit because you don't have a ton of girls coming in. And it's not like you can recruit a roster like, you know, like Scooter can, where, you know, you have into your program. And so have you had to, you know, maybe change up styles a little bit just to kind of work with personnel?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we are getting a lot of the time, and I know a lot of other schools in our leagues are pretty much kind of the same story, but you're getting girls who just came to high school, and we reach out to them and say, hey, you know, how would you like to play, and how do you feel about that? And so you're getting girls who have never played, or they played when they were in fifth grade or something like that. So you're teaching the basics. You're teaching them how to build up their play, just straight, you know, offense, defense kind of thing. So every year we have to think about, okay, what formation would work best with this playing squad? Who do we have? How can we be successful with who we have, especially against some of the teams that have really good skills? I know I've called Scooter before and I've said, okay, I have this squad and I have a player who is phenomenal. What do I do with her? Because she's a good defender, but we need more of an attack. And so he kind of helped me out just being a little bit more creative and playing players in different positions just to get more kind of explosiveness in different parts of the field. So just kind of have to be a little flexible.
Yeah, so obviously I love that. So that brings up a question for me is, what have you stolen from me? So what have you stolen as a coach that you've taken from me? And I guess what have you never going to use? So I've got a lot of Scooterisms. I know that I've gone off the rails a couple times at your practices, but that might be number one. And then the other thing I want you to touch base on is we were touching base on what it's like at Siena and why Siena. So can you talk about, now that you've been out for so many years, you know, what drew you to Siena? What have you taken part that's really made you know, that you're taking into your classroom with you or you're taking into your team?
Yeah, I think if I'm being honest, a big piece of my practice, especially when I first started, was based off of what we did at practices. And it's funny because even as I do a lot of more research and how can I do a warm up or how can I better run these drills, a lot of them kind of come back to what we did at Siena. So I definitely have used a lot of the drills, a lot of the fun games I've used with my players, and a lot of the mentality, some of the scooterisms I'll throw out there too. But I feel like I do have to switch it up because it's a different playing field from right. collegiate to high school, especially where we are at. So the kind of intensity switches. But I think when I first started, I probably took a huge chunk from what you did. And like I said, I still call Scooter and I'll ask him for kind of some pointers. I know it's a different ball game for our high school, but I think he has a lot of really good insight that I've taken from what I've learned from him and as a coach what I've talked to him about, so that's really nice. And then I just thought, I love Siena. I still talk about how much I loved being there. I just got together with some of the girls that we played soccer with, so I love it. I met some of my best friends there. I think it's super sweet to go into college having people who you suffer with during preseason and who you share so much in common with, and they're people that I'm going to have for friends for the rest of my life. And having the education programs really been helpful to me, and a lot of the professors I'll have on Facebook still, and we still keep in contact. And it was a super great experience doing the teaching there and playing soccer there. And now I have a student teacher this year. This is my seventh year teaching. I have a student teacher that just graduated, Christina, and she played soccer, and she's going to be an elementary teacher too. So that's kind of come full circle too, being able to teach her what I know in the classroom, and excited for her to kind of follow that same journey. It's been cool.
Yeah, and then I guess follow-up for me is you're similar to Cassie in both Lenawee County raised, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the majority of people in Lenawee County don't view Siena as in, you know, maybe the highest light, or maybe they should. So what's the one thing you think that, you know, misconception or one thing that you're so happy that you found at Siena, you know, coming from Blissfield and being raised in the Siena shadow? Like, what are you think really, like, you're just grateful that you found that you didn't know about?
Oh, good question. Well, first of all, I didn't know that there was anyone who didn't love it. But I would say I think probably some of the misconceptions. I think sometimes a lot of the time when you're in high school, you want to get as far away as possible. And you want to have that different experience, which I totally understand, and I totally get that too. But I think I loved it because I was close to my family, who has always been super close, and I was able to come home. But I also, since I played soccer, I also stayed in the dorms and stayed in the apartments. So it was like I lived there the whole time. And something I loved about Siena was it just was a community. And I feel like the people that I went through the years with, especially my closest friends, but even if they weren't my closest friends, a lot of the people you stay connected with throughout the years at Siena, and then after you graduate, I think the community part of it is unmatched to a lot of the huge schools. If you go to Michigan, if you go, like, there's pros and there's cons and things like that, but I think for anybody who wants to have a community and wants to be able to do well in their classes, they can have the extra help. They can play a sport. They can play a really successful sport and gain all these friends and all these experiences. I feel like Siena is one of the best places for that.
Well, Emily, we appreciate your time. We are up against it because we got another show coming up here at the top of the hour, but we appreciate your time, and again, good luck with Blissfield, and again, thanks for coming in and sharing a little bit about your experiences from Siena Heights. And once again, to Coach Scooter, also Cassie and Kat, appreciate it very much. We got to get out of here. Saints Sports Weekly right here, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.